is 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Main engine start, zero, and liftoff of the Atlas V with Curiosity, seeking clues to the planetary puzzle about life on Mars.
Sounds of the launch in November last year of the rocket carrying the Mars Curiosity rover. On board of that rover, some very special equipment. The Mars Science Laboratory. $2.5 billion price tag, if you don't mind. This is about to start its mission on Mars very soon by slowly, slowly crisscrossing the Gale Crater, searching for evidence of water and therefore signs of whether the red planet has ever been capable of hosting life. After about 8 months of travelling through the cosmos, the Curiosity rover has nearly arrived on Mars. It's due to touch down next week, early Monday morning. But before it can even begin its search, it's got to get through the landing first, and that apparently is a fearsome prospect. Scott Pook is a space historian, and he joins us now. Scott, what's so special about this landing?
Good evening, Willie. At 5 days, 20 hours and 49 minutes until we actually land on Mars, this is a very special landing in that, as you rightly said, we are going to be searching for water and for signs of life. This landing is probably the most precarious we've done out of seven Mars landings altogether over the years by the United States. This one encompasses something we call the 7 minutes of terror.
Now, that is a very impressive name, I've got to say, Scott. But, I mean, really, is it being hyped? What's so special about these 7 minutes?
This is a type of landing we've never actually tried before. We're coming in directly from our interplanetary trajectory. We're going to enter the Martian atmosphere, which is around about 1/100th of Earth. We're going to take 10 minutes altogether to get from the point where we enter the atmosphere down onto the surface, but we're using some new technology. For the last minute and a half or so, we're using a thing called a sky crane, which will actually lower the lander onto the surface and have it already set up, ready to go trundling around Gale Crater, and then we will detach that sky crane and fly it away. Altogether, there are about 70 different small rocket devices and pyrotechnics that have to fire during the landing sequence. And this is all done without a direct radio link to the Earth. We are on delay here. We're about 14 minutes on the Earth to Mars circuit for the landing. The signal, when it comes back, will come here into Australia. It will come to the Tibimbilla Deep Space Tracking Station just to the south of Canberra. So Australia will be the first nation to know whether Curiosity has made its successful landing on Mars or whether it's been a bad day for NASA.
Wow. That does sound pretty delicate, I've got to say, as an operation. I'm reading about some of the speeds involved, and I've got to say, Scott, the deceleration here is astonishing. What was it? 21,250 k's per hour. It's got to go from that speed to zero in that seven-minute window.
That's exactly right, and we're using a combination of those small rockets plus a large parachute. This is the largest parachute we've ever deployed to Mars. That will slow that lander right down, bring it into almost a horizontal trajectory. The sky crane will give us the ability to hover for just a couple of seconds before we do touchdown, and then hopefully we're in for 2 years of excellent science trundling around Gale Crater and ultimately, hopefully, undertaking an extended mission beyond Gale Crater.
So what's so special about Gale Crater?
Well, firstly, from an Australian perspective, it was actually named for an Australian.
All right.
So we do have a vested interest in Gale Crater. It was named for an astronomer by the name of Walter F. Gale, who passed away in 1945. He discovered several comets and drew maps of Mars and Jupiter. And as a funny coincidence, there's a mound or small mountain inside of Gale Crater, which when viewed from orbit, apparently resembles the shape of Australia. So how good's that?
That's amazing. Is there any scientific significance to it?
Absolutely. This site has been specifically selected because of the belief that this will hopefully answer in some form the question of whether there's life on Mars. I actually saw a report in the last couple of days that said if the science program here was successful, that NASA may very well look at deploying another rover into Gale Crater at a later time. So they consider this to be a very, very significant site for the determination of the possibility of water on Mars, when it might have been there, and with that, the possibility for some sort of life on Mars. Now, we're not talking about extraterrestrial ET-type things here. We might be even just talking about botanical life or some sort of organic life rather than what we would consider like a humanoid form or something like that. It could be very, very basic life forms that we're looking for here.
I understand the connection between the discovery of water and the potential for life. Is that evidence, though? If we do discover water, does it actually prove there was life, or is it possible there was just water that happened to be there?
It is possible there was just water that happened to be there. We see evidence of water deposits on other planets and satellites. There's frozen oceans, for example, out on some of the satellites at Jupiter and Saturn. So this will not conclusively answer as to whether there was, a colony of life on Mars. The early scientists, of course, speculated that the different colours on Mars led to the theory that there were plant life and other forms of life on Mars. But as our exploration has gone on from the orbiter spacecraft and the Viking landers back in the 70s, we're seeing a very different picture emerge. And the planet itself has been under scrutiny for the last 4 to 5 years. They are still going around and finding more evidence that Mars has evolved in a very different way than what we ever expected.
Hey, sorry to ask a really childish question, but this is actually controlled by a joystick.
It is controlled by a joystick.
Some guy in California is going to do it now.
That's exactly right.
What can you do? What manoeuvres are available?
You can manoeuvre in almost any direction. As I understand, this vehicle, just like Spirit and Opportunity, is a rear-wheel drive vehicle. So if you get bogged, for example, you do have a way to get out of there. The controller actually sits in a little studio in the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. And he has, as you rightly said, a joystick. He has a visual display. But bear in mind, that visual display is 14 minutes old. So we only move the rover very, very slowly, sometimes only a matter of centimetres or maybe only a metre. If we see something we're not sure about, we'll stop the rover, we'll analyse what we're seeing. We might make a decision to back up, turn left, turn right, or simply just go straight over it. So the progress will be slow, but we're targeting 2 years of continuous science on Mars at Gale Crater once we get down, hopefully, on Monday morning.
And aside from everything else, it sounds like a huge amount of fun. I know it's more serious than that, but God, I can't help but reach that conclusion. I've got to say, Scott, I've got to move. Thanks so much for coming in and having a chat to us. It's very exciting.
Thank you so much.
Scott Pook, space historian there. And Artia sends a text saying, hi, I hope the Mars rover finds intelligence on Mars because there's not much on Earth. Boom tish, 12 minutes to the top of the clock. You're on RN Drive with Waleed Ali.